2 Corinthians chapter 13. That's what it means.
I always thought of it as, you know, you to
declare. Well, it's in the Bible. It always means to clarify God, to clarify your understanding of God.
I thought it was something about.
So most of us do not do that. We try to make God our errand boy. And
I was thinking of it to make something splendid or magnificent. Because you're bestowing praise or affirmation on it, or him, or it, or whatever.
All right.
Corinthians what?
2 Corinthians chapter 13. This is verse 3 of chapter 13. Start there. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which is to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And this is the operative word now. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. The idea that if he is in me, then I am really dead. That's what it says. I died at the cross. And so you have to prove to your own self, and it says it over and over again here, how that Jesus Christ is in you. He is your only life. It's not you becoming something. It's the reckoning that he is your life and you have no other.
And anything short of that, I'm a reprobate.
Right, and a reprobate, by definition, is one incapable of repentance. There's repentance of the world, but not the repentance of God. The repentance of God cannot... there can be none of you left if you have repented.
You mean repentance of God or repentance of self?
Do what?
You mean repentance of self, abandoning him?
Well, you repented by accepting your death, and nothing can resurrect him. And so what you feel or think about something is absolutely meaningless.
Yeah, that's the biggest challenge.
Again,
feelings.
Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, or examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves how that... Know not your own selves. You know not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now, in effect, this is what everything that's going on in your life is testing you about. Does your point of view move to the point of view of humanity, or do you remain in this mystery that Christ is your only life? And there's no in between, there's no neutral ground. It's one or the other. Either Christ is your life or you are your life. And if you and you have no life because you died on the cross, so your life is really the life of the evil one. There's no neutral ground. You're not ever in a neutral place. You're not just, you've always been, and I've said this over and over again, but you've always been a vessel for deity. You have never been a vessel for you. You have never been an independent person. You've always been either the evil one, that's what happens when your mind, I mean, it's not just your mind, it is the evil one. So you can't just excuse something, oh, that's just my mind. Does that communicate?
We've always been captives.
You've always been a vessel. You've never been, not once in your life, have you been an independent identity. You've never had a separate personality. You buy that? Do you know it from experience? Jeff, do you know it from experience? Or are you still trying to get you in the picture? Or keep you in the picture?
I plead the fifth there. I think okay.
All right. Let's go. Again, this is why this is the only place in the scriptures where it says examine yourself. You examine yourself once and for all time. You examine yourself and you find out that you lack in everything. You've always been a liar from God's standpoint. All right. Can everybody, can at least you accept that what I just said is true? All right, then go to 1 John chapter 4.
Anybody gets hot, just tell me.
What?
Anybody gets warm, tell me, I'll turn it down, but it's nice to not hear that thing or the ice machine.
And verse, everybody there? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. And again, a spirit here doesn't mean some ooh-you thing running around. The spirit... is anything without a body. And so here, the spirit is your thoughts or your statements. Your words don't have a body. They come from a body, but they don't have a body. Your thoughts don't have a body. They originate in one of two sources, either the evil one or Christ. Okay? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world, and your mind is one of the false prophets. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Is come in your flesh now. And if your thoughts confess anything else, any egocentric situation, then you're not confessing that he has come in the flesh. Amen?
No.
You see that, Miss Lisa? Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, And this is that spirit of Antichrist, where you have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. And this is the world. The world is the Antichrist, of the Antichrist. Your minds, again, they're either of Christ, which is the abandonment of self, or they are of you, but the you is the evil one. You are the instead of Christ. That's why your number is 666. Because as your mind can never find rest. Rest is 7. Now this is what you repent of. It's not that you repent of things, or you repent of you've resurrected the evil one again. You don't repent. Well, anyway.
I think the two areas where repentance would be most important for me or anyone would be repentance from expectations and assumptions. God, you talk about those just drive you up the wall.
Well, but that's again, that's an issue. That's not the cause. You're not repenting of thinking of things, or you're repenting that the evil one is your life and you've been using it, and that's where you came to that identity or that inference or that question. It's, you never repent of, oh, I did this and this. That's repentance of the world. The repentance of God is that you repent not to be repented of. And that means that you've finally seen that you are the instead of Christ in bodily form. And so the repentance isn't what the evil one does. It's the fact that the evil one you've still given breath to, you've still given importance to. I mean, a child, oh, mommy, I did this and this. No, that's not... Your repentance, be repented of, is, my God, I've resurrected the evil one again. Well, I've given breath to it. What's going on out there?
The girl's here.
Huh? Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, that's why let's read the next few verses. Verse 4, you are of God, or from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But when you confess something else, then you are saying that the evil one is greater than God. We are of God. This is the most egocentric scripture in the Bible. Verse 5 and 6. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The most incredible egocentric statement in the Bible. But it's the truth. All right, now go to Galatians chapter 2. Thank you. Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now this isn't the Hebrew law here, Torah. It's any law, whether it's the law of gravity, whether it's the law of cause and effect, any kind of a, it's anything other than faith.
Yeah. Natural or secular?
No. But notice, it starts out, we have believed in Christ. That's the beginning point, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. That's the only justification. We no longer have faith. We see we're the thing that we call faith is just sort of a preliminary inference world. But we have believed in him that we might be justified by the faith of him. So we get then that believing in him to being justified by the faith of him is that thing we talk about. For Abraham, that took 100 years. For Jacob, it was a constant struggle. And for Isaac, it was instant revelation. To be justified alone by faith of Christ. Never you trying to justify yourself. That's why it says, you are they that justify yourselves among men. This is not here. It's in Luke 16. You are they that justify yourselves among men, but not by God. You are they that justify yourselves among men. Why? Well, let's go there so it doesn't make it up. So you won't think I made it up. Luke 16. We're coming back to Galatians in a minute. Luke 16, verse 15. He said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Whatever, this is why the test of what you esteem determines your place in the body of Christ. If you still want and like the same thing the world likes, then you know you're on the wrong path. Anybody see that?
Yeah, I mean, I confess I still like some of the things of the world, not like I used to. And I'm not sound like I'm justifying. There are things in the world that I like, but...
Well, as I said 1,000 times, you can never repent of things that you like. So the test has to be that you have to push everything to the end so that you see it's empty, it's meaningless.
The struggle is I can disavow or deny so much of my life, but that I enjoy or worship or found important. I struggle with abandoning or surrendering to all of it.
Well, all I want you to know is there's only two positions.
I guess I'm a blasphemer.
There's only two positions. There's of Christ or of the evil one. Mm-hmm. No. Don't think it's you that's doing it. Then you'll always and never be able to repent because you repent by the way the world repents. You repent when you recognize that what you're doing is resurrecting the evil one.
Sounds like I'm serving two gods at times.
That's why we studied double-minded. All right. Back to Galatians 2. Verse 17. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found to be sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now, how do you do that? How do you build again the things that you've destroyed? You destroyed, allegedly, you destroyed, and you're accepting him. But the world now says you accept him as your personal savior, and then you'll get more world stuff. So listen carefully now. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. You died with him on the cross. I am crucified. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Who loved me and gave himself for me.
Right. Who is the me?
Who loved me?
Hmm? You're dead. Who's the me?
You love me.
But it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live.
Yes, you love me. Possibly, he loved thee through his forgiveness and his death. He loved the old Jeff and allowed him. I don't know.
There's never again. Remember, this is.
Okay, who's me? I don't have the answer.
The me is Christ.
That's
your only life. You are dead. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth.
So I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved himself and gave himself.
Well, he loved it. He loved you because he saw you as part of the bride. He saw the end. The love, God's love never goes to the human race. The love of God is centered in Christ alone. This is one. I'll pick on Gary since he's not here. When I say this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Well, then he said, well, who's the me? Me is the vessel. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So then, who's the me when he said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which you now, who's the me? Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's you, but now seen as the vessel, no longer as the independent identity. This isn't difficult, believe me. Once you see it, it's as easy as breathing. You are crucified with Christ. That means you are dead. Right? That was sort of a maybe.
I don't know where you're going with this.
You don't know where I'm going?
No.
The fact that you don't exist.
Okay, so we're hidden in Christ with him. Mm-hmm. Right? So we're hidden in Christ?
No, we are crucified.
You no longer exist.
Well, you exist, but you exist via the evil one. He's always trying to leave a place.
I don't understand where you're going with this. Yeah, we've already discussed that part.
I'm just showing it in, it's done over many, many places in the scriptures. All right, so we'll go to Romans 6. Start in verse 7, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, or into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, notice in your Bibles, in the likeness of his is all in italics. Okay, so what it says then, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be of his resurrection.
That sounds like transfiguration. That what it's implying?
Well, it's before there's transfiguration, there has to be renewal of your mind.
This is definitely far more profound or visceral than a transformation.
All right, keep going in verse 6. Knowing this, that your old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we serve not sin. This is what I've said so often, that sin isn't what you do, it's who you are. Trespass is what you do. Amen? For he that is dead is freed from sin. If we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, or by him is what it says. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, or self, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Let not self, therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God alone, is what it says in the Greek. As though that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's not you becoming better, that's him living instead of you.
So really it's not ever about us getting better, it's really about, because I've never had this light came on where I had this transfiguration or transformation like this. For me, I think it's this road of Jeff, not Jeff. Yes, there is Jeff, because Jeff resurrects himself. Jeff decreasing through repentance so that he increases in my life. And hopefully it gets to the point where there's no Jeff left to decrease. Jeff is finally gone, and the mystery is accepted and lived. But
you have to first understand that there has never been a Jeff. Otherwise, you'll keep trying to repent of what Jeff does.
So there's never been a Jeff, but there is this person masquerading as me who serves Satan.
Right. You serve the evil.
So that masquerading entity or whatever is a rebel, is a deceiver, is a hard-headed stump, and he basically keeps me from the mystery, which is the revelation of Christ in me and the power of the Holy Spirit that is my eternal life.
His job is to always try to keep himself in the picture.
No.
Yourself in the picture. He never identifies himself as the evil one. He never identifies himself as, you know, the the son of Satan. Remember, that's what Jesus said to believers that believed on him. He said, "You are of your father the devil."
Well, yeah.
But that's the human race. That's why if you concentrate on the things you're doing, you'll never understand. You repent from doing something you think is bad, or what the scriptures think is bad, or what somebody else thinks is bad, but you always end up keeping yourself in the picture because you're not repenting of you. You're repenting of what you do.
Right.
So you're not repenting of the evil one, you're repenting of what the evil one does. And so he secretly has kept himself alive.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so the more you concentrate on the individual things that you do, that's the less you'll understand what repentance is.
All right, so often, many believers, even me, we repent of our behaviors, not of self.
Because they have no knowledge that self is the evil one. Self is the instead of Christ. Self is 666. It can never reach 7. And that's implanted in your forehead and in your right hand. It's not going to be up. It's its identity. That's why it's your mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Your mind is what makes you you. So you repent of you, not of what you do. That's child's play.
Yes.
All right.
What you do is not repentance, it's just contrition.
Well, it's trying to make self better.
Yeah.
Okay? All right, take it, big guy.